Hare Krishna. I warmly welcome you to this fourth day of your retreat, the Govardhan retreat, which is dedicated this year exclusively to Krishna Katha. This is a natural development of our retreats. We wanted to give the retreats which we offer a distinct color and a distinct theme. It is easy to identify this color and the theme in our Vashana retreat. It's the Holy Name retreat where we engage in the practice of japa and kirtan. Hear a lot, not so much this year, but we hear instructions how to improve this practice. It took us some time to find the theme for the Govardhan retreat. And as year after year passed, the need became more and more clear to give that retreat also a very distinct identity. And this year, for the first time really, it took us 12 long years, it was clear theoretically already 3 years ago, but for the first time we are actually embarking on this hearing about Krishna Katha, which is according to you know, many devotees, something which in our society is something which is new but which needs to be introduced. Mahaprabhu's movement was carried on through the centuries by the Holy Name, which is the Yuga Dharma, and the discussion of the Bhagavatam, which provides the philosophical but also emotional foundation for kirtan. This is called Sambandha. It makes the connection. The Bhagavatam makes the connection between the individual soul and the Lord. And since it is a rasa shastra, that means a shastra in which we obtain, or through which we obtain a spiritual taste, a spiritual realization, it tells a lot about Krishna, his name, his form, his qualities, and his pastimes. Especially in the 10th canto, we hear about Krishna very exclusively, but already in the first canto, Krishna comes into our awareness as the charioteer of Arjuna, driving him to yet another transcendental heroic feat. When Ashwatthama had released his, after Ashwatthama had killed the five Pandava sons, then Krishna comes and he is addressed, Krishna, Krishna, Mahabaho, Bhaktanam Abhayankara. O Krishna, you are omnipotent and you alone can dispel the fears of your devotees. So the Ashraya Tattva, where we take shelter from the fears of material existence and the turmoils, is already introduced to us in, I believe, the 7th chapter of the first canto. And here in the 10th, he is then described in full color, with all the rasas. Kirtan, as we heard, is known in our movement and becomes more and more known as the years go by, as maybe the central practice of the Hare Krishna people. But hearing the Bhagavatam and sitting down and just hearing about Krishna is something which we need to enter like a river, where we don't really know the cause as of yet, because it is new. So to explain a little bit how to enter this river, I have tried to give you a little informations from based on Srila Prabhupada's teachings on how can you make hearing or shravanam really a sadhana, a spiritual practice. Spiritual practice always has to do two things. It takes you away from worldliness, and it makes you attached to Krishna. Spiritual practice is like the sun, which evaporates the muddy waters of material life, and it reveals to us that which was in darkness before, which was hidden. So we talked a little on what to do, and I would like to summarize this. In the beginning of hearing about Krishna, you can measure how good you do by seeing if the effect which is promised in the Bhagavatam takes place in your heart. That is, that misery, illusion, and fear leave you. There is a shloka. Simply by giving oral reception to this Vedic literature, the feeling of loving devotional service to Krishna, this supreme personality of Godhead, sprouts up at once in the heart. Comes like a little plant which comes from a seed. The seed of hearing gives devotional service, you know. And as a side effect, limitation, illusion, and fear leave the heart. The Bhagavatam promises that by engaging in the hearing process seriously, the Supreme Personality of Godhead will manifest or appear in the heart within a very short time. So this is the sadhana of hearing. Our Vishakha Mataji, a wonderful devotee and very studious devotee, she knows our philosophy very well, has written a very nice article which had inspired me very much. It's something that, I don't know if she's, are you here, Vishakha? Is Vishakha somewhere here? Yes. What was the magic of hearing? The magic of hearing. Vishakha used the word the magic. Magic means something which is incomprehensible happens by hearing. Krishna comes in the heart and misery and lamentation leave. Now, this promise should make us now interested to understand, how will I do my hearing? How is it just that I do it like, you know, is there some more instruction, please, how I should do it? It's almost like if you get a new, if you get, I don't know what example I should use here, something which is new to you, let us say a motor scooter, an electric motor scooter we got, and immediately you want to know, is there some, how do I drive the thing? And we got such a thing by our host in Govardhan. She supplied it, or her husband supplied us an electric motor scooter. And we heard the instruction. See, there's this bottom here. When you press this bottom, then you will go very speedily, up to 40 kilometers an hour. If you don't know about this bottom, it will go very slow, maybe a snail pace of 10 kilometers an hour. So instructions on how to use something is extremely important, and that's what we try to do in the first part of our our Govardhan Katha. Basically, there are three advices how to do. You need to hear first or give oral reception with rapt attention. Now, we were trying to make a little research. What is rapt attention? And our Madhava Prabhu from Alachud in hot and humid Florida has with his magical machine found out rapt means lifted up and carried away. You should hear in such a way that you are lifted up and carried away. Second, transported with emotion. My God, these were Bhagavatam readers who did this Webster's Dictionary. And the third is wholly absorbed. Not wholly like a holy man, but wholly like whole grains, you know, totally absorbed. So this is what you, how you should listen. You should lift, you should listen, means you should connect your mind and be carried away. Jiva Goswami writes in his Sandavas an advice. He said, make your mind... No, your mind is the snake. It always winds here and there. Who knows the movement of the mind? Left and right. What is left and right? Sankalpa and vikalpa. Huh? It accepts a thing and it rejects a thing. This happens very much when you hear in a normal way. You accept this and then, oh, it's boring. You switch off. It goes like this. So, Jiva Goswami says, your mind is a snake. Listen to Krishna Katha, which is like a flute song, which brings the wavering mind under control. Have you ever seen these snake charmers? Yeah? No? They play this one melody. I've learned it by heart. I will not do it with harmonium. And again. No, not you. And it goes on like this. And then the snake, which is dangerous, at least in theory, I think in India they take the tooth out, but the snake, which is dangerous, will just be hearing this song. It begins to swing and sway to the song, and then becomes somehow hypnotized, and his biting tendency is subdued. So if you hear the Krishna Katha like that, like your mind is like the snake, which goes usually in snaky movements, accepting and rejection. You just hear that and you allow yourself to be lifted up and carried away. This is how attentive you should be. Connect your mind with the Katha. Shravana. That's a rapt attention. This Prabhupada's word. Then they should be transported with emotion means and wholly absorbed. My God, this is really, I will write to that editorial board of the Webster Dictionary and say, you should all listen to the Bhagavatam. This is such a good definition. You have served at Giriraj Govardhan with your definition, the International Assembly of Devotees. Congratulations. So the second information is manasaha. You need to reflect about what you have heard. Very important. A life which is unreflected, where you never think deeply about what has happened, doesn't really give you any permanent experiences. You will this again and again. You need to reflect. The word human being is manusha, manusya. Yes, it comes from manusha must be manisha. It means thoughtful, reflect about the things. this goes more and more away by the influence of modern technology, where people just don't have any time. They're always on these monster telephones who can do 58 functions at parallel and so on. They have lost their head in their PC computer. Never reflect. All the reflection is done by the machine, where the electrical circuits go through the wires, but not in their own lives. Reflecting about the subject, and then nididhyasana, that was the practice of applying what you have heard or meditating deeply about it. Now, Baladev Vidyabhushana says, this is the Upanishadic tradition, how you can learn something new. You hear, you reflect about it, and you either meditate or apply it. But he says, we Vaishnavas have to pray that something comes into our heart. You must pray. This is what Sanatan Goswami said when he, after he had heard from our Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came to him and said, please, now touch with your lotus feet my head, so that whatever I say becomes manifested in my heart. Hare Krishna. Good. Having said this, we will invite you now to come in our... Hare Krishna! Bhagdadasji, please sit on the cushion. You are our honored guest. Please sit here. Anandachit. Brajaraj is best? Good, good. Then someone can remove the chair so that Bhagdad... Krishna had lifted the Govardhan Hill for 7 days and for 7 nights without moving his lotus feet. He had stood firm, rooted to the ground. During this time, Indra, who had made the Sankalpa to destroy all the Brijbasis, he had come and gone riding on his elephant. He was hissing like a snake. He was galloping through the sky and he was encouraging the Samvataka clouds. Harder, harder, bring more rain. Are you weak? They are still living. The Samvataka clouds had become exhausted like a person who vomits. They had gone through the ocean, taking the water and then vomited it all out over Braj. But finally they were exhausted. Indra drove them harder with his thunderbolts. He was hissing like an angry snake for 7 days and 7 nights. But after some time, even Indra could not help to notice that there was no effect. Further, he noticed that there was joyful flute music coming out of the hill. He saw that the little boy was extremely happy, looking full of love on his people, and that the Brajavasis were just gazing at Krishna. They didn't even notice what Indra, with all his clouds, tried to do. They felt very protected. And then he saw not even one Govardhan Shila had fallen down from the lifted Govardhan hill. For the Brijbasis, you must know, these 7 days and seven nights passed like one gutika. That's 24 minutes. There was no time. There was just, Krishna. Finally, Indra felt as if he had been made to fall from a high platform and land on his head on the ground. This is when how a proud person feels when he is ignored. He feels totally empty in his heart. He is confused what to do. Therefore, the best weapon against someone who is proud is to just ignore him. Finally, he came to his clouds and says, "Stop, stop, stop! This is Sakshat Bhagavan underneath the hill. We better go, run as fast as you can, because what will happen if this Krishna starts to deal with us? He will punish us severely. So let us run. Let us run and hide." So on Indra's command, the sky cleared, the sun became visible, and everything became auspicious in all the four directions. When the Brijbasis looked out under the hill, they saw a most attractive scenery, and they noticed in the distance the roofs of their own houses glittering attractively as if they had been washed clean from all the dust. They were in utmost bliss, and they were actually not thinking to leave under the Govardhan hill. They thought, this is the best place to stay. We will not go anywhere. We will look at Krishna. But then Krishna, in a loud voice, said, "My dear cowherd men, please go with your wives, your children, and your possessions. The hurricane has stopped." It said, whenever you go to a festival, you must take care of three things. If you're married, you must take care of your wives, that they don't get lost or something happens. You must look for your children, that they also don't get lost. And you must, in a festival, especially in India, you must keep care of your possessions. Some of us who came to the Govardhan retreat, which is like a festival of hearing about Krishna, didn't put enough attention to the mobile handphones and found that they were stolen. So whenever there is a festival, take care of your wives if you are married, the children, and your possessions. This is that's why Krishna reminded the Brijbasis, now leave the hill with your wives, your children, and your possessions. Because they were so ecstatic, they might have had forgotten. So the Brijbasis immediately followed Krishna, except for one group of Brijbasis, but I will tell about this a little later. They loaded their possessions on their bullock carts, and they looked at Krishna, and he looked at them, and he assured them, I just have to put this hill down, I'm just now coming, you go." So the Brijbasis left the hill with all the possessions, and naturally the cows followed the cowherd men and also left under the hill. But when they were outside of Giriraj, that means no longer under the hill, they looked back and they saw Krishna was still standing there. And immediately all the cows and all the calves turned around it like a volley. That means like shoo, 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 shoo. They ran to be near to Krishna. They didn't want to leave Krishna. So that's how attractive Krishna is. Krishna then glanced at the cows, and by his eyes he told them, I'm just coming. You just go and wait, please. I have to put this hill down, you know. So then, and here you see a little bit of the Braj culture. Krishna was telling to his people, he was calling out, please, you go now around Giriraj and you see if anyone is sleeping under the hill, and you wake them up, and I will put the Giriraj now down, you know. And let us not forget, Giriraj was so high, he scratched the clouds. It was a massive mountain, and very wide and very long. And so then they had to first inspect if anyone was taking a rest, you know, out of an ecstatic rest, you know. And so when everything was clear, Krishna put Giriraj back in exactly the same spot. Radhakund was where Radhakund was put back, where Radhakund was before. Syamakund, where it was. Puchari up here. Every holy place was exactly matching to its natural environment, because it is said by the Acharyas that Krishna is the supreme lord of aesthetics, and in aesthetic knowledge, you know, everything must be at its right place to shine properly. For instance, the hair must be where the hair belongs. If the hair is on the feet, it looks a little strange, and the teeth should be where the teeth belong and not in the ears, you know. So everything was put back at exactly the place where it belonged. How Krishna did it is very difficult. I always wanted to know, how exactly did he put the hill back? I mean, he was in the center, in the middle, holding it. So did he first tilt it, and it went first on the right side, and then he went and put it on the left side? And this is not how Krishna did it. Krishna just threw Giriraj in a loving way, but not like, but, you know, and he came back in the exact spot where he was. So everyone was amazed what Krishna just did. You know, in tennis, when you train for international tennis contest, you will put some object, maybe a can, in a distance of 35 meters, and then you have to beat the ball that it goes to the can and makes it fall over. That's how they train in tennis, to aim their balls very correctly. So Krishna had just aimed Giriraj very correctly in the same spot. It was very, very good. So now the Brijbasis looked at Krishna, and Krishna looked at them. Krishna was dressed in a very festive way. His lotus eyes were blossoming. He had a garland of gunja berries which grow only in Vrindavan, and which he prefers over all his jewelry, because he likes the Vrindavan forest most. Many jewels are coming from other places. They are foreigners. So he, from the oceans, for instance, come the pearls and so on. So Krishna likes this gunja berry. He was standing there, and he didn't show any sign of fatigue. So the Brijbasis came forward, and in their heart they felt, oh, our Krishna lifted the hill for so long, we need to bless him now. So the superior elder people came first, and they joyfully offered Krishna blessings. May you be very healthy, Krishna. And they took him where his head was, you know, and they brought him to their noses and they smelled their head. His head. You might say, "For how is this good?" Well, if a superior person affectionately smells the head of an very inferior, a smaller person, then this spreads auspiciousness for the person. But I have heard it only done in relationship with parents to children. It wouldn't maybe good if the Matajis and the Prabhu smell each other's head after this kata, the older ones, the younger ones. It's done with children. Now, others kissed him and massaged, especially his left arm, thinking that must be, the circulation must be a little stifled here. Krishna Sakas very joyfully came and said, "Saka, that was wonderful what you did, but we think you need something now for your strength. Do you require some rasayana? We will quickly get one for you." Krishna said, "That's all right." Others felt Krishna had his arm like this, so his fingers were most probably a little inconvenienced, and they began to pull Krishna's fingers and crack them. And still others came and blew with their breath on Krishna's nail, you know, because they felt Giriraj must have had some pressure on Krishna's nail of his pinky, and therefore maybe it was hot, you know. So they blew on Krishna's nail. This is how Krishna gave everyone an opportunity to once again associate with him intimately. Then the gopis stepped forward. They offered Krishna some unbroken wheat and jokot, which is auspicious. And then others came and drew a tilak on Krishna's forehead with jokot. Do you know why they took this type of tilak and not, for instance, sandalwood? Well, all the items of the cow dispel inauspiciousness. So they thought, if there is some inauspiciousness, maybe some weight got stuck in Krishna's body, some pressure, this auspicious yogurt tilak will take it all away. Then finally, after everyone was done, Krishna's closest relatives came forward. Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda, and Rohini, and Balaram, they all affectionately embraced Krishna, put him on the lap, they were overwhelmed with affection. Only Yashoda was still worried. Maybe you will collapse out of hunger, and she offered Krishna something to eat. So you might ask a question now, which is a very important question, and the answer is very important. If Balaram was there, why didn't he lift Giriraj? Balaram is experienced in weightlifting. He carries as Ananta Shesha all the planets on his various heads. Whereas Krishna, this is Prabhupada says, has no previous experience of weightlifting. Krishna doesn't do heavy work. Do you know this? The only work he does really is play his flute. And therefore on Krishna's fingers, you see, and that's the only place, some indention. Indention means some holes, you know, when you touch something like this, then you see there is an indention. You can see the screw now on the thumb. Can you see the impression of the screw? So Krishna has impressions on his fingers, round impressions from pressing the holes of his flute. Krishna does beyond that do not work. His shaktis do the work. So why did he lift Giriraj and make so much effort, while Balaram, who's very well experienced in weightlifting, in planet lifting, that's his Ananta Shesha, stood by? This, do you feel this is a good question? The answer is that certainly he could have lifted Giriraj, but he wanted Krishna to do it because he knew Krishna had a mission. He wanted to show, he wanted to make a point, and that is, surrender to me and I will certainly protect you. Krishna wanted to make an exclamation mark behind this devotional secret, that if someone surrenders to Krishna, Krishna will take total charge of him. This is a very important devotional point which Krishna wanted to show. I will take personally care for you. I will be the one who lifts the hill to give you shelter from the flood. No one else than me. I will do this personally. I am there. If you call for me, I come for you. This is a very important motive in Krishna's heart. When Krishna, when Draupadi met Krishna after Krishna had protected her, she said, "My Lord, I have a question to you. Why did you come so late? They almost were successful in disrobing me. Only in the last minute you came." And Krishna's answer tells a little bit about his mind, his inner feelings, what he really thinks. He said in a sad voice, "Draupadi, in the beginning you took shelter of Bhima. When he couldn't protect you, you took shelter of all the kings. When they wouldn't protect you, you went to Duryodhana." Dhritarashtra, asking him to stop the injustice of disrobing you. Only in the finally, when you saw no one helped you, you try to defend yourself. You strong Kshatriya lady, you try to protect yourself with all your force. Only when you saw that this wouldn't work, you finally called out, "Hey Govinda! Hey Janardhan! Hey Madhusudan!" Then I knew, oh, now I have to come. She calls for me. She takes shelter at me. My dear devotee, this is so difficult to understand for the weak mind of a conditioned soul, because we as conditioned souls have turned away from Krishna's shelter, and we are chronically accustomed to take shelter in difficulties somewhere else than with Krishna. We are accustomed to take shelter in our own arrangements. When we are slandered, when someone says something bad about us, we are there on the email and defend ourselves. When we take shelter in our own defense systems, rarely do you meet a Sharanagati Vaishnav. Rarely you meet him. But it is this point which you have to learn if you want to get out of this world, and if you want to go back home, back to Godhead and start your relationship with Krishna. You will have to learn to take shelter in Krishna. It's called the path of Sharanagati. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes about this, that this is a prerequisite for those who want to chant the pure holy name. They will need to learn to take shelter with Krishna. So Balaram knew that Krishna wanted, and maybe we can say needed, maybe, I'm not sure if this is philosophically correct, to make this point. There was a great desire in Krishna to make this point. Take shelter in me. Don't take shelter in Indra for your water supply. Take shelter in me. And when there are problems, when Indra gives you problems, don't take shelter in Tantra or any protective measures which one can do in such situations. Just take shelter in me. Even in the heavenly planets, the demigods were so charmed by what they had just seen. How Krishna had proven that those who take shelter in him are protected by him. They became so convinced that they started to shower a rain flower on Krishna as he was there hugged and kissed by Mother Yashoda. They had no fear that Indra would see it and become a revengeful and think, you are siding with my enemy. No, they lost all the fear. They wanted to come to Krishna personally in Vrindavan, but then they knew if we come in our forms, then the cows will see us with our demigod forms and will be frightened and will bolt and run here and there. So they stayed in the heavenly planets and showered their flowers from there. There was Tumburu, the leader of the Gandavas. He was leading the singing at the Deva Kirtan. They played on their conchals and their kettle drum. The whole upper planets was just one big concert, making and much nicer sounds, of course. Sukadev Goswami mentions that Lord Krishna simply took notice of all of this and went back to the same place from where he was coming and tending his cows. Now, up till now, Krishna had not even once communicated with Indra. He had not even looked into Indra's direction, to be very precise. Krishna has one quality. He's known as Hari. That means someone who takes away. For his devotees, he takes away the miseries and the lamentation and the illusion when the devotees chant his holy names. And he takes away the heart of his devotees when they hear about his amazing qualities and character qualities. You know, he has outer qualities and he has also character qualities, inner qualities. Now Krishna had decided to do something which is very, very merciful. He had decided to act towards Indra, who was also his devotee, his conceited and illusioned devotee. He had decided, I will act in such a way that Indra's pride will be taken away from him. And when you look at Krishna, how he acted during this pastime, and we will hear some more, you will see how exactly Krishna removes the pride of his devotee. You have to study this, because when Krishna does this with you, don't protest. You should already know what are his steps, you know, what he does. Now, all the Brijbasis were very blissful, but when they returned home, they became more and more thoughtful, and finally, when they arrived at home, they had a heavy doubt in their mind. They thought, this is now Gaga Sanghita, is Krishna really the son of Nanda Maharaj? I mean, he does not behave like an ordinary child. Nanda Maharaj is elderly and he can't even lift a good-sized rock. But Krishna, who is coming from him, outdoes his own father by lifting a whole mountain. Nanda Maharaj has the complexion of grounded sandalwood, but he is dark, so dark. Have you ever seen a dark man coming from a bright man? No. It can't be that Krishna is the son of Nanda Maharaj. He must be someone else. And this was a doubt, you know, because up till now they had used words like Nanda Suno, Nanda Nandana, Yashoda Nandan, Yashomati Nandana, Yashomati Suta, all names which were describing the family relation or the sonhood or parenthood of Nanda Maharaj and Krishna. And for, you know, it's a village. Braj is a village. It's very important who is somebody's son. You know, it's not like an impersonal New York. One couldn't care less. That's the subject in a village. Who is the son of whom? Who's the daughter of whom? What is the relation? You know, and oh, very important. I have learned while staying in the villages of Braj that, oh, you can't mess around with family relationships in Braj. Very important subject. So, he can't be a human like Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. He must be God or a god. But again they thought, but if he is a god, I mean, God doesn't behave like this. He likes when we cuddle him and we press him and he jokes with us. And when a gopi makes butter, Krishna comes with his hand and begs butter from her. This is not what God does. So he's not the son, but is he then God? No, he can't be God. The doubt began to eat away at the substance of their conviction. There's a legend in Italy of one emperor, Titus, and it is said that one mosquito flew into his head and by some curse and ate away his brain. Every day a little mosquito portion, but every day more and more. So this is something like this, you know, the doubt was very increasing. You know yourself, when you have a doubt, then the doubt has the tendency to grow, no? If it is not solved. If you have a doubt in Krishna consciousness, a doubt in your guru, then that grows like a problem, you know. It really grows. It eats away your substance. So the Brijbasis were thinking so many things. They talked about Krishna from morning till evening amongst themselves, but they didn't come to any conclusion about his identity. They talked about his various leelas, and this is all described in the Bhagavatam in a chapter which Prabhupada has summarized as in his Krishna book as Wonderful Krishna. They really went back and forth. It really the swelled the doubt. Finally, they didn't know what else to do. They couldn't help themselves. And they all came in a big delegation to Nanda Baba. And Nanda Baba looked at his people, and their faces were dry from the doubt. "Oh, you have come here?" "Yes, we have come here. You are the only one to help us. We have a doubt. Is Krishna really your son? That would mean he would be a human and he would not be able to lift the Govardhan hill. He would not have killed Putana. He would not have gone with Trinavata up in the sky and then just choked him and let him fall down on a stone. Please help us. This doubt is eating us away." Nanda Maharaj, he smiled brightly. Because you must know, there's one thing about the Brijbasi. They like to talk about Krishna. It's not like we who meet at the Govardhana retreat and then try our best to stay awake in the katha. No, they from morning till evening, they just discuss, you know, and it's really a discussion, you know, with rapt attention they do this, you know, totally absorbed, transported with emotion, you know, that this really means something for them. Then Nanda Maharaj says, They said like this: "Dushta jas chanuragosmin savishang novrajokasam nandate tanayesmasu tasyapyot patika katam." Dear Nanda, we have all these doubts, and we have an additional doubt. How is it that we and all the other residents of Braj cannot give up our constant affection for your son? He's your son, not our son. And how is it that he is so spontaneously attracted to us? This is a loving doubt. I don't know if you have ever loved. Maybe you have loved your child if you had a child. Or maybe you have loved in other ways. When you love, you feel, I don't deserve the other person's company. Has some of you ever felt this? It's maybe a too intimate question. I will not ask you. You feel, this person is so good, I don't deserve it. I often have discussions with my exalted God brothers, and they say they are very qualified in transcendental matters, and they say confidentially, this first class person came to surrender to me. He made a big mistake. I'm so unqualified. My disciple is 1,001,000,000 times more qualified than I. I don't deserve to have such a disciple. This is what you say out of love. When you then go to the disciple and you ask him, he will say, "Oh, Maharaj, you asked me how I came to be the disciple of this exalted soul. I really don't know. I don't know. I'm so unqualified." Once I asked the disciple of one of my God brothers, who was extremely qualified, and he said, "Maharaj, I'm a black ant. I'm a black ant. I was living on a black stone and a black night.
in a black universe, but my Guru Maharaj found me. This is love. So here the Brijbasis relate like this to Krishna. I don't know. We don't know. He's so qualified that we understand he can't be your son most properly. We want to discuss this with you. But tell us, why of all the people of the world is he so affectionately drawn to us and embraces us? Why? We don't deserve the company of yours, of Krishna. And most amazingly for us is that we always make offenses against your Krishna. You can see, those who know Rasa know that some Aishwarya Gyan is now raising in the Brijbasis. Some little. We always call him a thief. And still he loves us. This is very offensive. We have given him the name Navanita Chora. Well, the butter thief, we call him. Ah, you butter thief, we say. Ha ha ha, butter thief. Here the butter thief comes. He should have left us long ago because we are so offensive. But still, he just loves us. We can't understand these things. He allowed that he was bound by a rope. It's offensive? No. It's a great personality. You don't bind the president of America with a rope to a mortar. Huh? Alas. Whatever we do, it doesn't keep Krishna away from us. He climbs on our laps. He eats our dahi. And he cries if we do not pay attention to him. He sits in a corner and cries. We are not qualified for him. There is something about Krishna's pastimes, my dear devotees, which you must know in order to understand Krishna. These pastimes of Krishna have always three qualities. One is an intimate sweetness. When you are close to someone, there is some closeness. And in that closeness, some real sweetness can be felt. So an intimate sweetness is there between the Brijbasis and Krishna. The second is there, this amazing opulences, like for instance Krishna's strength and lifting Giriraj on with his left hand and his finger. Some acharyas say that Krishna, by taking his left hand, wanted to show Indra, you know, this is not even big work for me. I take my left hand. I don't take my right hand for the important work. And he said, it's so small, so little what you do. You know, I can do it with my pinky. Pinky is this last finger of the five, which is the most weak finger of all. And not even I use my pinky. The pinky is too strong for this insignificant work. I use the top of my fingernail, you know. That is how I deal with you, Hare Krishna. So it's amazing opulence. It's amazing strength. And the other is, and this is something which we Westerners will have a hard time to understand. Krishna is at the same time very multi complex, but he deals very simple with his devotees. Very simple, uncomplicated, unmental. He just jumps into their laps, you know. He eats from their plates. There is no formality. There is this form of how the Indian people use the word simplicity. You know, something which Brahma cannot understand. You know, when Brahma saw that Krishna ate prasadam from the muchi plates of his of his cowherd people. He thought, this can't be the origin of the Vedas, who speak so much about Suchi, Suchi, Suchi principles, and Muchi, what is Muchi? He is a super Muchi here, you know. So, and that's how Brahma's offense started. That's how he wanted to. Then he said, I will have to test him to convince myself what this boy is. So intimate sweetness, amazing opulences, and endearing simplicity are the three qualities of the Lord of Love. That's why he's the Lord of Love, you know. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains this explanation of Sanatana Goswami. He said, of all the three, the amazing opulences are usually hidden in Braj. It comes out from time to time, like when he lifts the Govardhan Hill or doing his other pastimes, doing extraordinary activities. But usually Krishna prefers to just hide it and just act very playful and joyful in relationship to his devotees. Now, we beg you, Nanda Maharaj, please give us the answer. What do you know about this boy? Who is he? It is said, when Nanda Maharaj heard the words of the cowherd men, he laughed loudly in appreciation of their statements. Nanda Maharaj said, O cowherd men, listen very carefully. It is natural that you have a doubt about my boy. But my doubt is not there. I don't have any doubts. Because I've heard from my guru an explanation of who is this Krishna. Gaga Rishi told me at the name-giving ceremony that I should take good care of Krishna. And he said to me that Narayan is working through him, is empowering him. Now, for us from the Western concept, Western world, the concept of Avesh is very difficult. It's Avesh means when you are there, you are the container, and all of a sudden, someone with superior powers takes possession of you. It's used in the religious way, but also in the tantric way. Now, I would like to explain the scope of this a little. Now, I was once in the Himalayas and in Yamunotri. And all of a sudden I saw many people carrying something, and then they came to where I was there. I sat on the side, they cleared a circle, and all of a sudden someone started to dance. And he danced for half an hour. I couldn't believe. And he really looked enraptured, carried away to another platform, which was happening. And then he sat down, he fell down, he was sweating, his eyes were looking void into everyone, and he started to explain something. And I went near to some educated gentleman. What is he saying? And he said, the gentleman said, wait, he says that next year there will be lots of rains on the field if such and such pujas are made. I said, well, how does he know? He said, he doesn't know anything. It's the one spirit which has become Avesh. It's in him now and talks to him. And the village people will follow this and they will have a good harvest. It always works. The concept of Avesh means something else with superior power than you have, someone else takes possession of you. And this is what Nanda heard from Gaga, that Narayan
takes care or goes into him. Onanda, Gagarishi said, your son is of the same category and he will shelter all those who love him. To increase the transcendent bliss of the cowherd men of Gokula, this child will always act auspiciously for you, and by his grace only you will surpass all difficulties. And Gagarishi said to me, O Nanda Maharaj, this child of yours is as good as Narayan, thus you should not be astonished by his activities. Please protect him and bless him that he lives a long life. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains this understanding of Krishna's father about Krishna. He says, there are sometimes jewels, they are called the Suryakanta jewels, and they are exposed to sunlight, and then the sunlight comes, they reflect some of the sunlight. So in the same way, Krishna reflects some of the potencies of Narayan. He's not Narayan, he's not God. You all, my dear devotees, can become Avesh. If you surrender to Krishna, some of Krishna's potency, a little of Krishna's potency, can go inside of you. It's for instance said that no one who is not empowered by superior potency can spread Krishna consciousness. Because some of the potency of the Lord will work through him. Are you with me? Krishna Shakti Vine Nahe Tara Pravatan. Krishna Shakti is required for that. So, when the cowherd men heard this, they became very enlivened. Ah, that's a good explanation. You saved our life. Yes, he is your child. He is your child. Good. But some of the potency of Narayan went into it. That's why he does all these things. And that's why he looks a little like Narayan with that color, you know, the black color, this enigmatic color. Ah, thank you. Thank you, Nandamar. You are our king. You always know everything. Wonderful. And where's your boy at the moment? And Nandamaraj smiled. Yes, he's my boy. He's not Narayan. He's my boy. He's playing at the moment in the forest. He plays like a little boy. Nanda Maharaj started to cry and he puts colors on himself and he runs with the monkeys. Good, good boy. I also did when I was a boy. You know, and he really wanted to, you know, this is what the Braj energy now does. All this Aishwarya, all this doubts in Krishna will go now more and more and more. And Krishna, this is how Krishna wants it. He wants to be seen as a little endearing boy who is a very playful. I will show you now a little boy so that you can just understand where the boy is. Arjuna, please just come for a moment. You need Arjuna. he will come. So they waited for Krishna or the Brajbasis. So when Krishna returned home from the forest, all the Brajbasis were there for him. And they greeted him and they encouraged him. Krishna, well done. You can do such things. You are very good. And they decorated him with beautiful yellow cloth. They decorated him with necklaces. They decorated with him with armlets, earrings, and crowns. They gave him new crowns and they shouted, Jai! 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 Jai!
O Brajamani! May you live a long life.
Brajamani means the jewel of Braj. So I would like to show you. Geht es? Arjuna, komm noch ganz kurz.
Maybe he's a little shy. Please look kindly upon him. Maybe he is in a different mood. You know, Arjuna is not someone you can just call.
Hare Krishna. Okay, this is Arjuna, who is my friend, a little boy. He is not exactly Krishna's age. I wondered, but he is very close. He's completing his fourth year and entering into his fifth year. So 2 years older. This is Krishna, little boy.
Very sweet, very playful, always in his own little world, the Braj world, the world of love. I just hope to show you this is really sweet, you know, sweetly. Arjuna, I'm please accept this. Hare Krishna.
So they all said, let us give him a present, you know, like when we deal with a small child, we know we have to give, this was a Vic present, you know, a bonbon. So the Brajbasis knew that we will give him something. We decorate him with nice yellow cloth and necklaces and so on. And may you live a long life. So, Hare Krishna, I wanted to come much, much closer to the end of the katha. But it's just so... What happened with Indra? Can you still hear? Oh, that was half dead, yes. I know, it's not that easy. You will hear tomorrow. Your yes was very small. Okay, I will just give a little. We need somehow some different music for this.
Giriraj Maharaj ki jai, go Premanandi, jai jai Sri Radhe, Shyam.
So after a few days had gone by, Krishna, who is the super soul in everyone's heart, knew that he had to deal now with Indra. Indra was in the heavenly planets. He just paced back and forth, and they said, I'm now in great problem. He will send Yamaraj after me. I know I did the worst thing and I offended his devotees. Krishna, I know he loves his devotees, and I wanted to kill them and the cows, and I wanted to kill Nanda Maharaj, and he knows it all. He knows every dark part of my devilish mind, and he will deal with me like the devil. He will kill me. Don't know what to do. He couldn't eat. He couldn't drink. He couldn't. He tried to have some diversion, you know, some cultural festival with some dance. Didn't work. He only saw Krishna and his offense before him. And finally, he decided to go to Brahma, the grandfather of the universe. And he said, Brahma, what should I do? I've made an aparad against our Krishna. Brahma said, I also made an aparad against him. I know what it is like. And I know what it feels like. It's terrible. I know. I give you one tip. I give you one tip. And just listen now very carefully. Can you listen?
Yes, yes, I'm listening, said Indra. Don't go there alone. It won't work. You go and take the personality who's most dear to Krishna. You know, Brahma didn't know much about Radharani, so he doesn't. He made a little mistake here. Bring a cow, a good cow, good size cow, a Surabhi cow, and you come, she walks in front of you, and Krishna will look very happily towards the Surabhi cow. He's in a happy mood, and then just don't show yourself immediately. Show yourself just a little, and then a little bit more. This will work, you know. No, I can't do this, said Indra. Brahma said, then you are lost. So Indra went back to his wife Sachi, and Sachi Devi, Sachi Mata, had never seen her husband so fearful and ashamed. So again and again she asked him, like the wives are often the good intelligence of their husband, don't be an arrogant fool. Krishna is known for his forgiving nature. He forgives. So you just go. You go, but you go in a humble way. Indra said, okay. And he then approached Surabhi and said, I need you. You have to go in front of me. Surabhi said, good, come behind me. But I give you one tip. Don't come riding on your elephant. Go by foot. That looks more humble. So Indra walked, very ashamed and fearful. And he really felt he had, let's speak New York slang, he had blown it, you know. So he came after this. So Indra came walking through the sky, shaking with fear. When they arrived in Braj, he hid behind Surabhi. He was so paranoid. Brahma also came along. He said, Surabhi, I'm well known for my own misdeed of previously stealing Krishna's boyhood friends and cows. I will follow you on my swan, along with all the munis, rishis, kinaras, charanas, siddhas, and devatas, because we want to relish the bliss of this pastime. This time I'm not the one. I want to bring everyone, and we will not see this. This will be blissful. So Surabhi led all the powerful devatas, and when she spotted Krishna, who was at Govindakund, you know, just waiting for Indra, really, she approached Krishna and said, hey Krishna Chandra. Then she said many prayers, and at the end she said, just see the person standing behind me. I don't know how she must have, maybe with one ear, you know. He's overwhelmed with grief from his anger and offenses. Look, he casts his eyes down in shame. He repents his rude and arrogant actions. Krishna, he's always rebuking himself within his mind. He really, really wants to be forgiven for his grave offense to you. But he is afraid to step forward. Only if you allow, he will be able to step behind you and say what he wants to say. My dear devotees, we will end here. Time is up. But I will just leave you with a thought. When you apologize because you have done something wrong, how do you make a good apology which is sure to be accepted? We talk in ISKCON a lot about forgiveness. There is one forgiveness seminar after the other. But do you know that normally forgiveness happens when an apology has been uttered. Apologies are very important because they bring about the forgiving nature of the person. And listen, for a good apology, you need to have three things in place. First, you need to show the person whom you have offended that you understand that you made an offense. If the person doesn't have this knowledge, that this person understand, he is not just saying, please forgive me, and he thinks I was right and you are wrong. I'm just saying it because it's a fashion in ISKCON to do this. Please forgive me. You know. As, very often people come to me, Maharaj, please forgive me. And I ask them, for what should I forgive you? I don't know. No Swami ever asked me this. Please, go back, think what I should forgive. Then I will certainly do it. But don't do mindless words, please. So you need to do this. If you want to be forgiven, you need to show, I did this wrong. And I did it wrong because I didn't consider this, this, and this. I didn't see your feelings. This is very important. The second is, one needs to assure the other party that one does not intend to commit the same mistake again. If the person has the feeling, well, it could happen next morning to tomorrow again, his forgiveness will be incomplete. And the third thing which you need if you want to apologize is you need to sincerely beg for forgiveness. And tomorrow we will check Indra because we are Krishna's devotees and it was bad what he did. And we want to see, is he now serious? Is he, or is he just saying, is he just there to save his skin basically? Tomorrow we will check Indra's prayer if they have these elements. Hare Krishna. I request you now to... we will sing for 2 minutes, and there is a saying in Vrindavan that there is the best decoration is the dust of Vrindavan. So we request you to make this experience. We will quickly sing, and then we will offer our obeisances to Giriraj and the dust of Giriraj. That will also usher in the pause which we have. And please remember, at 12:30 sharp, Burijan Prabhu will deliver the excellent next sequence of his seminar on Vipralamba. So we will just quickly say a chant and then end the session. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Giri Govardhan, Giri Govardhan, Giri Govardhan, Giri Govardhan. Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Prabhupada.